trust them and their licensed U.S. agents because they've already protected over 1.2 million families. For example, a 40-year-old male that takes cholesterol medication could get $500,000 in life insurance for under $25 a month. That could be your cost to protect your family. I want you to give SelectQuote a call at 1-800-290-0303 or go to SelectQuote.com today for a totally free personal quote. 1-800-290-0303. That's 1-800-290-0303. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Those bare spots in your lawn, the Home Depot can fix them with Scott's Easy Seed. Right now, it's 50% off. Scott's Easy Seed is a mixture of mulch, seed, and fertilizer, perfectly formulated to patch and repair any bare or damaged spots in your lawn. Guaranteed. So, spread the word. 50% off Scott's Easy Seed. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 6th. U.S. only. See store for details.
You gotta love savings up to 40% off. And the Dell Labor Day sale delivers massive deals. Dell definitely didn't hold back on the savings, and they have such an amazing selection. You can score the latest Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, or maybe you're after a 55-inch Sony HD smart TV. There are so many great electronics and free shipping on everything. Shop big Labor Day deals by visiting Dell.com/Labor Day or call 800-BUY-DELL.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Zeke Elliott and the NFL Players Association were in a Texas courtroom Tuesday where they asked the judge to throw out his suspension on the grounds the NFL acted unfairly. An arbitrator upheld Zeke Elliott's 6-game suspension, but the NFL decided at the beginning of the hearing to allow Elliott to play this week. Elsewhere, the NFL says the Dolphins and Buccaneers will not play in Miami this Sunday as scheduled due to Hurricane Irma. The league will either move the game to a neutral site or reschedule for Week 11 when both the Dolphins and Bucks have a bye. Chiefs Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce limited in practice by a calf injury Tuesday, but expects to play in Thursday's season opener against the Pats. And Colin Kaepernick getting support from Cam Newton as the Panthers QB prepares to face the Niners Sunday. Newton said Tuesday, Kaepernick is better than several current starting QBs and should definitely be on an NFL roster. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Right now, the Kohler Cimarron Comfort Height Elongated Toilet is at its lowest price ever at the Home Depot, just $199. You save $49. At that price, you can raise your expectations, believe your budget exactly where it is. And the best news of all, it's a Kohler. They never compromise. Why should you? Start with the best. The Kohler Cimarron Comfort Height Toilet. Just $199. Now at the number one Kohler retailer, The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 29th.
Napa Know How.
Getting the best usually costs a pretty penny. But when it comes to getting one of the best motor oils, your pennies don't have to be pretty at all. Because Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil is only $5.59 a quart. So open up that piggy bank and treat yourself to the best with Valvoline Full Synthetic. Now just $5.59 a quart. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Welcome in hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. Big show still on the way. Tristan Cockcroft will be with us to answer all of your fantasy football questions during the 6 o'clock hour. Tristan's appearance brought to you by our friends at Imon Communications. The 6 o'clock showdown on the way in hour number three as well. Your chance to get the lead out next week at the Paramount Theater. Those tickets on the line tonight and the text line. Look, for every person that is just out there in left field, you've got four or five people on the text line that are begging them to please stop sounding like Nebraska fans. Please stop living in the past. And whether you want to embrace it or not, 2002 is very much the past for Iowa football. 2005 is, I mean, that's over a decade ago. And it just...
2012 is in the past.
Well, technically, the first hour of the program is in the past.
I understand but I know that, but I'm saying, look, if there are no current players...
In terms of college football, and I guess maybe it's because Kirk Ferentz is still on the sidelines... And maybe that plays into the idea that it's a little bit more relevant than it actually is. But I'm telling you, just no. Take a step back. You know, nothing good ever comes from telling somebody that they sound like a Nebraska fan. If somebody says that to you, it's not a compliment. 507, the Colonels we mentioned are in action tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium, taking on the Kane County Cougars in the Midwest League Western Division semifinals. The Colonels have qualified for the Midwest League postseason each year of their affiliation with the Minnesota Twins. I think that's pretty cool. And speaking of the Twins, we have resident Minnesota Twins fan and Colonels beat writer Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette on the line with us. JJ, what's up, my man? Are you already at the stadium?
Yeah, I'm sitting out in the stands, actually, watching Kane County take a little batting practice right now. Who knows? Could be for the last time.
So. Do they seem like they want to go home?
No, they seem like they want to win.
Well, that's not good.
You know, Todd, I think that's half the battle.
Yeah.
You know, half these guys, you know, these guys want to go home, but I think both teams want to win, so it'll be interesting.
Okay, that's my next question for you. Was we saw Tommy Watkins. He was here in the building yesterday. He was on the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, and I asked him about today's game and the mentality of the team. They're all in on this. They want to make a run, and they've had that mentality every year that they've been a Twins affiliate, which is sort of rare in the minor leagues because these guys are ready for the grind to be over for a little bit. You're inside that locker room. Do you get the sense that these guys are all in on this game tonight?
Yeah, I do. I was talking to one of the guys I won't name here recently, and they're like, well, you know, they were originally supposed to have instructional league going on. I don't know how that's going to change now with the hurricane down there in Florida, but he's like, yeah, the longer we play, the fewer amount of time we have to spend at instruct, so might as well keep playing.
Now, the pitching matchups for games one and two, and then if necessary, game three have been announced. What do you make of the matchups, and what team would you say they favor heading into this series?
I like the pitching matchup for Cedar Rapids in game one tonight. Tomorrow, you know, I think you have, you know, Beaker and Sam McWilliams, so that one's, you know, a couple of real quality pitchers who have had great seasons, so that's kind of a toss-up. And, you know, game three, I think statistically, the two guys that are supposed to pitch, Emilio Vargas for Kane County and Tyler Watson for Cedar Rapids, statistically they're pretty even. So I think, it, as always in a short series, you want to win that first game, and especially Cedar Rapids, if, you know, playing at home, you don't want to have to go on the road and try and win back-to-back games in suburban Chicago.
Now, it's very unusual to see a player come back down from a higher level. Clark Beaker did that this week. What was the reasoning behind that, JJ?
I just think, you know, he had three starts up there at the FSL and got a, you know, kind of got a peek about what the level's like. And, you know, Fort Myers rotation, I think, is kind of full. And, you know, hey, I mean, Brad Stile, the farm director in Minnesota, and all these guys in player development, they have no idea what their futures are going to be. So, you know, with the new regime in Minnesota, so, you know, you want to try and win. It looks better on your resume if you need to put it out there, and I think that was part of it as well.
Speaking of the rotation, this is traditionally a time of year where, especially in the minor leagues, the lower levels, guys are on strict pitch counts. Guys are starting to get shut down for the year. Where are we as far as the Cedar Rapids pitching staff? Are there any guys that are really close to their limit that you know of?
No, I don't think so. The Twins don't really have a hard and fast, you know, innings policy on that. It's pretty much, from what I've been told, okay, they, you know, we'll let them pitch, I think it's 20% or 25% more than they did maybe the last season. So for guys like, you know, Clark Beaker and Tyler Wells, that would include college. And so I don't think they're really close to that, you know, having to be shut down kind of mark. And, you know, that's a good thing.
Jeff, the call-ups, the promotions after the All-Star break hit the Colonels pretty hard. They were kind of in a lull for a few weeks, even a month after that All-Star break. for someone that goes to every home game, has there been a noticeable difference in the energy and the life from this team since Royce Lewis has been called up to Cedar Rapids?
Yeah, I've noticed it anyway. I mean, he has that youthful exuberance, maybe you could say. You know, he's a great team guy. I think he's brought a lot of energy to the clubhouse. He's all about the team. You know, I think he's fit in very well, and he's played very well. And, you know, so all those things have kind of combined to make them a better team since he's been here. And, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, his exuberance, his enthusiasm and energy for the team, you know, I think manager Tommy Watkins would certainly tell you it's been a positive and has really helped everybody out.
Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joining us previewing tonight's Colonels game. It could be the last home game of the year for the Colonels. It's a short three-game series against the Kane County Cougars. You've got Peoria and the Quad Cities on the other side waiting to meet somebody in the Midwest League, the Western Division Finals. Who do you think may emerge from that series, JJ, the team with the three major leaguers on it right now?
Yeah, you talk about stacking a team, huh? But, you know, I think Quad Cities will be pretty hard to beat, even though, you know, I think they lost 6 of 7 to end the regular season. They've, as you mentioned, have some guys down there in major league rehabs and have just seemed to be able to put things together here in the second half despite a, you know, cavalcade of roster moves. Nobody makes more player moves at this level, it seems like, than their parent Houston Astros. But, yeah, I do like them to beat Peoria. Honestly, I really like Cedar Rapids to beat Kane County, to be honest with you. And, you know, the one I'm really looking forward to is Dayton and West Michigan, two really good teams over in the East that have kind of a history this season of some sometimes not so pleasant play. They've had, like, benches clearing episodes and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges over there in the East.
And just kind of interesting to see Dayton in the postseason because they're usually one of the weaker teams in the Midwest League, a Cincinnati Reds affiliate. I want to ask your opinion because this may be the last time that we talk to you about this Colonels team tonight, but who among the guys that have been here for the majority of the season do you think showed the most growth and most promise and maybe made a case for themselves among the Midwest League or the Minnesota Twins prospect ranks?
Yeah, I think you can look at, you know, Travis Lankenhorn, I think, has improved as the season's gone on. He's a younger guy who's got some pop in his bat from the left side. You know, Aaron Whitefield, the outfielder from Australia. I mean, you have to take into consideration that, you know, he grew up playing fast-pitch softball and, you know, hasn't really played the game of baseball any longer than, you know, 4 or 5 years. And he's had a really strong season and just a tremendous defensive center fielder out there. So there's two right off the top of my head. And Lewin Diaz is another guy. He's just 20 years old. Big kid, first baseman. I think he had 32, 33 doubles this season. Hit over 280 at the age of 20. That's really impressive. So there's three guys right there that I think have kind of improved their stock.
I'm going to ask you about the parent club, Minnesota Twins. You made a reference to the guys in the front office not necessarily knowing how secure their jobs are moving forward because there was a lot of turnover in the staff last offseason. The big league team has turned it around from worst to possibly making a run here at a wild card spot, although they've got the Angels now breathing down their neck trying to keep it. What do you think of the Twins' chances here of grabbing one of those wild card spots in the American League?
Well, they've got, I think, from what I've read and what I've heard, the easiest, quote-unquote, schedule remaining of all the wild card contenders, whatever that means. But I think you also have to maybe counter that by saying that most of these guys haven't been in this kind of pressure situation before. So, you know, I said at the beginning of the season as a Twins fan that if they would just somehow just be competitive, I'd be happy, and I'm going to stick with that. Even if they don't make the playoffs, I think it's been a very successful season and one that's seen a lot of growth and development out of guys that really needed to grow and develop this season.
I'm trying to remember whether Butch Hobson was in the lineup for the Bucky Dent game between the Red Sox and the Yankees, but it's hard to believe that 40-some years later he's going to be in the dugout for the Kane County Cougars in this game tonight between the Colonels and Kane County. JJ, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much. And we may be touching base with you moving forward, talking a little you and I and other things under the sun.
Yeah, you bet. Anything you need, guys. Have a good night. Thanks for the opportunity.
Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. It's going to be a little chilly. Get out there tonight, because if you're a baseball fan, this could be the last time that you have an opportunity to catch a game until next April. Bundle up. Maybe invest in a stocking cap. Get the down jacket out of the closet. This is all going to come down. This is the dirty little secret that nobody in professional baseball, nobody in the minor leagues wants you to know about the postseason. But nobody wants to win. They want to go home. And sometimes it's a matter of which team wants to go home more in determining who advances to the next round. Now, that's not to say that if you go out there tonight, you're going to see the Black Sox laying down and dropping balls and throwing the game. But these guys have played a long season. For the most part, it's their first full season in minor league baseball. You heard JJ reference instructional league. There traditionally is a very short window between the end of the regular season, which was Monday, Labor Day, and players going to Florida and Arizona for instructional league. And when you make the postseason, it cuts into the time that you get to spend at home with your girlfriend or your wife or your family, friends, whatever. These guys would like to maximize that time. So it's just, it's interesting to watch. The postseason literally is a crapshoot, because you can have some teams that were very good in the postseason, and if they don't want to keep playing anymore, it's going to be all over for them. And I would say 90 to 95% of the time, because it's a three-game series, the team that wins game one wins game two. Very few of these series actually go three games, and that's even if the Colonels win tonight, they win tomorrow at Kane County. Almost assure it. But they got to get past the Cougars tonight.
I asked you in the sports office before we came on the air who you had in this series, and you said, well, it's a coin flip, and then you brought up the fact that whoever wants to lose less will win this series. And as soon as you said that, I knew exactly what you were talking about, going back to the days of broadcasting summer collegiate baseball.
Yeah,
it was
very
exactly
similar.
The same, and it has to be even more so for these guys, because they played 130, 140 games, whereas summer collegiate baseball, they're only playing 50 to 60. I remember being with a team, and you just got that sense heading into the playoffs. They weren't talking about the game. They were talking about, man, I can't wait to get home and have some of my mom's home cooking. I can't wait to get back to school. I can't wait to go see my girlfriend, see my dog. And as soon as you hear that, that's when you get the sense that, okay, well, you might know which direction this series is heading.
I will say this, it's really impressive, and I said this to Tommy when he was in the building the other day, and I don't know what the gym class did to actually get him to come in and join them in the building. We've always had to talk to Tommy on the phone, so we'll have to have a meeting with Tommy about that. But I said, you know, I thought it was really impressive that the Twins have given Cedar Rapids a team competitive enough to get to the postseason every single season that they've been a Twins affiliate, which the Angels were in Cedar Rapids for 20 years, and they sent a lot of teams here that weren't fun to watch, that didn't have a whole lot of talent on them, and just quite frankly weren't very good. And you can't say that about the Twins. Now, that partnership with Minnesota is signed through 2020, so Minnesota is not going anywhere anytime soon, and maybe next season, Royce Lewis at least starts 2018 back here in Cedar Rapids, along with, you would think, Alex Kirilloff, who was the Twins' first-round draft pick last year, an outfielder who had Tommy John surgery and didn't play at all this season. I would think that the Colonels would maybe be a good bet to extend that postseason run with a first-half championship or wild card next year. But we'll wait and see. 6:35 first pitch tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Tickets are plentifully readily available. Bundle up, get out there, grab yourself a hot dog, grab yourself a cold beer, and cheer the Colonels on one last time this year. And who knows, maybe they're home on Sunday, maybe they're home next week for the Western Division Finals against Quad Cities or Peoria. And the three, someone on the text line wants to know the three major leaguers that are with the Quad Cities River Bandits right now for the quote-unquote rehab stint. Michael Feliz is scheduled to start the game tonight. He has been a relief pitcher for the Astros at times at the big league level. Colin Moran is a third baseman, who's got some big league service time. And then the big name is Evan Gattis, El Oso Blanco, the White Wolf, White Bear. White Bear, I think, was his nickname. Anyway, I don't speak Spanish. I'm not Baxter the dog. But Evan Gattis, and I said to BJ and Marion, who's a huge Astros fan and an Evan Gattis, I want to say admirer. He frustrates BJ, but he's also a fan of his. He is down in Texas right now on vacation, so he's not going to be able to go over and drive the hour plus to the Quad Cities to see one of his favorite big league players. This is not unusual. The Cubs did this several years ago when they were in Kane County. They sent Mike Olt. Remember Mike Olt, Cub fans who are complaining about the 2017 Cubs team
top prospect
not being
in the
great?
Rangers organization
remember,
who never lived up to the hype?
Remember when Mike Olt was one of the bigger names that you had to look forward to at Wrigley Field? They sent him to Kane County during the playoffs. And I am trying to remember whether it was Wisconsin or Peoria, whoever they were playing, just absolutely threw a fit. Complained right in, oh my God, this is terrible. They're stacking this team. The minor league season at every level ended on Monday. So if you have a major league player that you want to send and play a rehab game, it's got to be with a team that has qualified for the postseason.
You got to send them somewhere.
You have to send them somewhere. And if it's A-ball, you send them to A-ball. I don't think the Colonels are going to be getting Byron Buxton or Jorge Polanco or anybody anytime soon to help them. They're going to have to do this on their own.
Miguel Sano?
Miguel Sano, there you go. That'd be fun. Look, the last time I saw him at Veterans Memorial Stadium, he almost started a benches-clearing brawl. We've talked about that with Tommy here before. 524, we'll step aside and take a quick break. Remember, we've got another chance for you to win tickets to see Get the Lead Out next week at the Paramount Theater. It's coming up on the 6 o'clock showdown. Fantasy football players, maybe you've got a draft later tonight. Maybe you've got one early tomorrow. Maybe you don't draft until this weekend after the first week of games get underway tomorrow night. I don't know. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be with us at 6:05 tonight. Get those fantasy football questions to us now. 319-366-1600. It's 524. We'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back, we'll have more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann for you on the way after this. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
In 1940s America, it was common for several generations to reside under the same roof. Grandparents, parents, and children all sharing traditions and learning from each other. There was a simple beauty to this kind of living. And while it isn't common anymore, at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, three generations still share one roof. The Dickens family history at Hertin & Stocker began when Willa was a simple watchmaker. He went on to own the business and raised his sons Terry and Tim alongside him in the store. Now Terry's daughter Kate has joined the family at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. She brings her contemporary sensibility and fresh ideas to the jewelry cases while carrying on the heritage of service and understanding she grew up with. Kate is the most recent chapter in the ongoing story of Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. Come see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At 6 a.m., 40 million Americans are waking up to a Gillette shave. And at our factory in Boston, 1,200 workers are starting their day building on over 100 years of heritage and innovation. Today, we're bringing you America's number one shave at lower prices every day, putting money back in the pockets of millions of Americans. I'm proud to bring you Gillette Quality for Less because nobody can beat the men and women of Gillette. Go to GilletteOnDemand.com and get your fourth order free. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
5:26, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on, almost to the halfway point tonight, but we've still got more great content on the way. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions. Mel Kuhn Jr. will be in the studio with us tonight to break down the results of last night's Imon Communications listener fantasy football draft that we held at Brick Alley Sports Pub and Bar in Marion. Fantastic location there.
Outstanding.
On 7th Avenue. Stop by and check them out. Les is the owner there, and really a very cool place to do a game watch, do a fantasy draft. He built the room that we were in last night almost specifically for things like fantasy drafts and game watches. Good beer menu, beer selection. I had Creed, who is Jason's brother, trying to ply me with beer last night, and I had to very politely turn him down. But we met those guys, and I say we, it was Tyler and myself way back when we were doing trivia at another bar, and they're longtime listeners. Jason is the returning champion from last year's Listener League, although that's with an asterisk because they finished second behind Tyler. And I mean, now, they may not finish second this year because according to Yahoo Sports, Alex and I had the worst draft.
We're supposed to go 1-13, apparently. So
we are supposed to essentially be the New York Jets of the KGYM Listener Fantasy Football League.
Is it a keeper league?
It's not a keeper league. I like our
stack
team.
Stacking the deck. I do too.
You do, but we'll find out whether Mel Kuhn Jr. likes our team. 319-366-1600. I want to get to a couple of the texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line because we've been talking about living in the past and college football, and a certain school to the west has come up, the Cornhuskers. 4840 says, I'm a nightly listener to your program and a proud Nebraska fan, but I don't live in the past. The Huskers have to produce, no question. That is a white buffalo right there. You don't meet too many of those people. Not only is he a nightly listener to the program, but it's a Nebraska fan that doesn't live in the past. I'm looking at texts from a couple of them that actually do. This all goes back, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more coming up after the bottom of the hour. Iowa and Iowa State, and it somehow spiraled into a discussion about, I guess, the relevance of both football programs. And I think Iowa State fans get tired of hearing Iowa talk about the Hawkeyes as if they are Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, because they're not. But in the relative series history between the two teams, Iowa has the definite upper hand. And I'm sure many of you have probably seen a photo that's circulating around on Twitter and message boards and social media that compares the two football programs side by side, all these award winners and records and bowl wins and all of that stuff. Let me tell you what, I've been a part of this series now as a member of the media for a long time, and I've been on the sidelines. I've talked to guys on both sides. What a piece of paper says about what happened in the past has absolutely no bearing on what happens at 11:01 Saturday morning when they kick off. Because for four quarters, you live in the present. And I've seen this plenty of times. Kirk Ferentz has been 9-9 in 18 seasons as Iowa's coach. Plenty of times I've seen Iowa take a better team to Ames or take a better team onto the field in Iowa City and lose to an Iowa State team that doesn't look like it would be as good on paper. Is that the scenario this week? I don't know. I can't tell from 1 week. But Iowa State looked pretty good last week, and so did the Hawkeyes, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more coming up in just a few minutes. Kyle has rejoined us in the studio. He's going to tell you all about the Cedar Rapids Colonels Midwest League playoff game tonight against the Kane County Cougars during another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and Hawkeyes' Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervais were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were all also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. The Gazette's Area Super 10 Volleyball Rankings were released today, and 9-0 Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1, with Xavier 2nd, Linmar 3rd, Iowa City West 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th.
Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the Best of 3 Western Division Series. Both teams led their division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids will throw Tyler Wells out there for Game 1 to take on Mac Lemieux, and that's going to start at 6:35 right here in Cedar Rapids after our show today, ESPN programming.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Football is a fast and rough-and-tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The NFL reschedules the Dolphins-Buccaneers game in Miami to Week 11 on November 19th. The teams were supposed to play their season opener on Sunday, but that all changed with the threat of Hurricane Irma. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett hurt his right ankle at practice today. Too early to know if he'll play Sunday against the Steelers. Bills quarterback Tyrod Taylor is now cleared from the concussion protocol. He's expected to start the season opener Sunday against the Jets. Baseball finals on this Roberto Clemente Day. The Twins beat the Rays 10-6. The Reds sweep a three-game series from the Brewers 7-1. The Rangers win the first of two in Atlanta, beating the Braves 12-8. The Yankees and Orioles tonight in Baltimore rained out. ESPN's Darren Revelle reports Jackie Robinson's 1947 contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers will go up for auction starting in October. It's the only known original Robinson contract. At the U.S. Open, American Coco Vandeweghe advances to the semifinals, taking out top seed Karolina Pliskova in straight sets.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu-priced pizzas when you order online for a limited time. That's 50% off your favorites, like hand-tossed pepperoni, meat lovers, or even original pan supreme. But hurry, this deal ends soon. No one out-pizzas the Hut.
At Progressive, we think your custom cupcake shop is first class. Yeah, your cupcakes were first class from your first day of cupcake class right up till you graduated. First in your class. And a first class, first in class top brass like yourself deserves Progressive Business Insurance. With over 30 business and vehicle options, you'll feel like you and your cupcakes are flying. First class. So move your center of mass to progressivecommercial.com real fast. Now you're cooking with gas. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious, world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Mary, you're glowing gold.
I know, I joined the Fuel Rewards program and got rewarded with instant gold status at Shell.
And now your body radiates gold?
Yes, and I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
5 cents a gallon? Wow.
And gold is all the rage this season.
Oh, yeah.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join. So join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
5:36, welcome back in the halfway point of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Ah, boy, sometimes I feel like you can't catch your breath during Iowa-Iowa State week. We're going to talk a little bit more about the game in Ames coming up on Saturday. Maybe you missed this. I don't know if this is even a big deal on most people's radar or not, but you may recall that a couple months ago, the NFL announced that it would be hiring 21 full-time officials this season. Everybody thinks that full-time officials are going to somehow be the answer to questionable officiating in the NFL moving forward. I don't necessarily think that that's the answer, but we'll see moving forward. Scott Helverson, the former Iowa Hawkeye, one of the 21 full-time officials. I think this is year number 15 or 16 in the NFL for the former Iowa wide receiver. He's a back judge on Ed Hockley's crew. He is going to be one of the 21 full-time officials this season in the NFL, which kicks off tomorrow night with the Patriots and the Chiefs. We'll have that game for you right here on KGYM. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what the Patriots do in their revamped backfield. Is Mike Gillisley worth a fantasy football selection? We will ask.
I sure hope so.
Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com coming up. Yeah, you're hanging me out to dry on that one, aren't you?
No, because I selected him as well in my other league.
Oh, so. Okay. You were sort of.
There was a collaborative effort.
You were sort of implying that. Yeah, you strong armed me into making that pick, which
that wasn't my intent.
Said. I think we're going with Gillisley here. We got just absolutely blocked. I don't want to say the other word because it's sort of a profanity, but we got blocked last night. Was it Aaron who picked right before us in the third round with Christian McCaffrey?
It was Chris. It was CT.
Okay, I am a big believer in Christian McCaffrey, and I'm reading all of this stuff, how Ron Rivera and the Panthers have a separate playbook for Christian McCaffrey that 50% of their offense is going to somehow involve him this year. So we didn't get Christian McCaffrey last night in the Imon Communications Fantasy Football Draft, but we got Jonathan Stewart like 10 rounds later toward the back end of the
draft.
That
was like the 15th round. I think that's when he was selected. At that point, might as well give it a shot, even though we got the worst grade in our league.
If you've got a draft coming up tonight or later on this week still, you can tune in the 6 o'clock hour. Tristan will help you. Tristan Cockcroft, ESPN.com. Get those questions into us, 319-366-1600. I made reference to Todd Bandauer on the program earlier today. Todd Bandauer was the quarterback at Iowa State in 1998 when they came into Kinnick Stadium and snapped the 15-game winning streak that the Hawkeyes held in that series. I vaguely remember I was not working at the Daily Iowan as a true freshman at that point, but I remember as a student reading the pregame tab, and I think it was something, the headline was something along the lines of Sweet 16, and everybody was just sort of taking it for granted that Iowa was going to beat Iowa State in 1998, and, well, most people, whether you're an Iowa or Iowa State fan, recall how that game played out and the celebration Iowa State had on the Kinnick Stadium field afterward. I got curious what Todd Bandauer was doing nowadays, and so I Googled him during the program tonight, during one of the breaks. It's Dr. Todd Bandauer. Now, assistant professor of mechanical engineering at Colorado State University.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. And in the bio, it barely mentions, actually his bio doesn't mention at all, that he played football at Iowa State. You have to go into, on his website, the website there at Colorado State University, honors and awards. If you click on that link, some of the honors and awards have nothing to do with mechanical engineering. They have to do with being a Big 12 football player. But all it says is he received a BS and MS from Iowa State University and a PhD from the Georgia Institute of Technology in Mechanical Engineering. His expertise and interests include thermal energy systems, coupled electrochemical thermal phenomena in energy storage, and conversion systems, micro-scale phase change heat transfer, high-flux thermal management of electronics and lasers, thermal activated cooling systems. These are his interests. Waste heat recovery and nuclear fuel processing systems. It says nothing on there about his claim to fame in the Seahawks series, which was being the quarterback who helped lead Dan McCartney's Cyclones to a win over Iowa in 1998. Now, if you think that I'm hung up on that series and that game in particular, 5 years at the University of Iowa as a student, I never witnessed Iowa beat Iowa State. In that five-year span, Iowa State won all five games that I was a student at Iowa, and it started with Todd Bandauer in 1998. 319-366-1600. I want to get back to the text line because a lot of people have been talking about what Kirk Ferentz said yesterday. Scott Docterman from thelandof10.com wrote a piece which I knew where he was coming from. I understood what he was implying. The implication, and I think we'll have Scott on the program tomorrow with us. The implication is that in Eastern Iowa, a.k.a. Iowa City, that this is one game of 12 on the schedule. And while it's a big game, it's a big game for 1 week. Whereas in Central Iowa, a.k.a. Des Moines, Ames, that part of the state, where you've got a little bit more 50-50 split among Iowa State and Iowa fans, and definitely more interest in Iowa State, this game is a bigger deal for more than just 1 week of the season. And so Scott wrote that at thelandof10.com, and in something between the thought process and putting it on the screen, you can't even say put it on paper anymore because it's a website. It maybe got lost in translation a little bit, or people aren't picking up on what he was trying to convey. And so now, yesterday at Kirk Ferentz's news conference, you've got people asking Kirk about why he doesn't take the series, what the perception that he does not emphasize this game. And here's what Kirk had to say. We played this in hour number one. We'll reset it for you here. But here is Kirk yesterday talking about just how asinine that is.
I kind of found it insulting in some ways. You know, it's almost like you don't care, or I mean, that's really insulting to say to anybody that competes in anything, I guess I haven't jumped up and died. I don't know, maybe I got to do some jumping jacks or something like that, be a little bit more demonstrative out there. When you win, what you do is great. When you lose, not so great. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of part of that narrative.
And he is absolutely right. When you win, it's great. And when you don't, people get upset. And I've said this, and people roll their eyes. They don't want to admit it. If Todd Licklider had won 25 games a year at Iowa playing the style of basketball that he liked to play, which is very similar somewhat to Bo Ryan and Wisconsin, I mean, not tremendously exciting basketball, low scoring, but if Todd Licklider played boring basketball and won 25, 30 games a year, they'd be talking about building a statue of him. It's all about winning and
losing.
People
roll their eyes at that?
Yeah, because,
it's
oh,
true.
No.
It's 100% true.
It's winning. And so the issue here is that in 18 seasons, Kirk Ferentz is 9-9 in the Iowa State series. And if I had the numbers in front of me, and I bet somebody on the text line does, because we're going to be talking about it, we're going to be hearing about it in the Big Ten season, people love to point out his record against teams like Purdue and Northwestern. And we're not talking about either one of those teams, but we'll get to them in Big Ten play. There's a certain section of the fan base that thinks 9-9 against Iowa State is unacceptable because they still think that it's 1984, 1992. Pick a year in between the winning streak starting in, 82, 83 and ending in 98. Pick any year in between there, and there were some real doozies where Hayden Fry just absolutely ran up the score on Iowa State and probably took great pleasure in it because somebody on the gym class earlier today, one of the callers or texters, implied that that game was Hayden Fry's Super Bowl because he knew that if you gave Iowa State an inch in the state with two Division I programs to FBS programs, my apologies to someone who will most likely be texting right now, that you had to dominate that series in order to maintain a stranglehold on superiority in the state. Now, I think Hayden just liked winning, and I think Hayden liked beating inferior opponents. And he did it in the Big Ten, too, a lot. Indiana, Wisconsin back in the day, getting the third stringers in there, throwing the ball deep downfield. Corny Robinson, right? Somebody will... And Scott Unash likes to tell that story all the time. Is 9-9 acceptable against Iowa State for Kirk Ferentz? Yes or no? 319-366-1600. If you think it's not, or if you think it is, I want your justification. I want to hear both sides of this. But I especially want to hear from the people who say that it is acceptable. Because, look, if you're an Iowa fan, you want to be 18-0 in the series going into this year. But that's just not the case. And there's a lot more better parity in college football nowadays than there was 20, 25 years ago, which is part of it. And our Emil's Hideaway poll question today, KGYMradio.com, do Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes put enough emphasis on the Iowa-Iowa State game for your liking, yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Still, the majority of people voting at KGYMradio.com are saying no, Iowa does not put enough emphasis on this game. How much emphasis would you like for them to put? Do you want to take away a week of preparation for a Big Ten team down the road so that you can put a little bit more?
The whole emphasis narrative is the most tired narrative that I come across on both sides. The fact that people say that this is Iowa State's Super Bowl is completely and blatantly false, and the fact that people say that Iowa doesn't take this game seriously enough is also completely blatantly false. Both teams want to win this game. I don't understand what you want to make of this game. You're seeing some back and forth with the coaches now. You're seeing Matt Campbell and Brian Ferentz go at it a little bit. Like he said, what do you want from him? What do you want from Kirk Ferentz? And if you think that Iowa State believes this game is their Super Bowl, they play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, TCU this year. I guarantee you they are not taking this game way more seriously than any of those games. They want to win all those games. The truth is, those teams out-talent them. There is a huge talent gap between those teams, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. But when they play Iowa, they know it's a rivalry game. And like I said earlier, and I caught a little bit of flack, there isn't a huge on-field talent discrepancy. Now, there's been huge coaching discrepancy. Iowa has been the more well-coached team. They have had more success over the past 10 years. But when it comes to one game at the beginning of the season, that's why you see both teams kind of going back and forth and a 9-9 record for Kirk Ferentz. No other reason.
319-366-1600. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions with us coming up in about 12 minutes. Let's head to the phone lines and bring Brent on board. Brent, what's up?
Hey, just wanted to weigh in regards to the 9-9. And, you know, I really hate to even say this because it seems like I'm being negative and I'm not. But I do think that there is a difference between Iowa and Iowa State. There's a coaching difference. There's a budget difference. There's a facility difference. And I disagree with a little bit on the talent. I think Iowa traditionally, if you look at it historically, I would say their talent level is a little bit above what Iowa State's gotten historically. So to say that 9-9 is acceptable based on all those factors, I think most of the Iowa fans would say they're a little bit disappointed it isn't better than that. So not being negative, just kind of telling you my feelings.
I appreciate the phone call, Brent. You can follow him at 366-1600. There is a difference between the two programs, but it's not the Grand Canyon. It's a little bit less wide than that.
It's coaching and development. That's what it is.
It's maybe the width of the Mississippi River at some point other than around Clinton, which is its widest point. There's a difference between Iowa and Iowa State in a number of areas. But I think the exaggeration on one side of the fan base as to how wide that gulf is part of the perception problem here. Okay,
yes.
Iowa has had more success historically, but Iowa State is closer to Iowa than I think some. I'm taking great pains to say some, because I don't like painting with broad brushes. But Iowa State is a lot closer to Iowa, especially in 2017, than some fans want to admit. And they may not acknowledge it, but deep down inside, Matt Campbell may be their worst nightmare, because that's the type of coach that Iowa State needs in order to close the gap even further. Will Iowa and Iowa State ever be side by side, truly side by side in the world of college football? I say most likely not, but you're not going to get there with a career assistant coach who's in his 40s, 50s, 60s. You're not going to get there with a guy who's failed elsewhere as a head coach. You're not going to get there with anybody other than somebody who embraces a lot of the things that Matt Campbell has brought, whether you like it or not, to Iowa State and what he's trying to get done there. Is it a guarantee that it's going to work? No. But I'll tell you what, from an Iowa perspective, I'd be more worried about Iowa State right now with Matt Campbell than I ever was with Paul Rhodes there. And I'd be more worried about Iowa State than I ever was with Gene Chizik there, because Chizik was going to, he was going to hop the first puddle jumper out of Ames. You knew it. I didn't think it was going to be as soon as it was, but that was a stepping stone for him. And I think Matt Campbell has an opportunity to be more troublesome to the Iowa football program than Dan McCarney was. And McCarney's the one who got the ball rolling on this thing to begin with. And that's what Iowa State needed at that time in history, was for somebody like Dan McCarney to come in there and whip that program into shape and circle that Iowa State game and say, this program is not going to advance forward unless it starts circling this game. And maybe there was a little bit of Super Bowl hype to it. McCarney, being an Iowa City guy and a former Iowa player and a former Iowa assistant, and he's going up against Hayden, I'll acknowledge that. But that's what the program in Ames needed at that time, because for 15 years, you got their teeth kicked in by Iowa for the most part. So they needed that win. They needed to get that monkey off their back. Nowhere in the same league, but similar to the Cubs, not going to the World Series and not winning a World Series in 107 years. Now, 1998 happens, and all of a sudden, Iowa State fans realize the series isn't a lost cause anymore. They can win. The same thing with the Cubs winning the World Series last year. You realize it can happen. And once that changes perception, then you've got a new reality. 555, Kyle is with us here in the studio. Let's go to the Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Pro Football Focus published Week 1's Big Ten Defensive Team of the Week, and Hawkeyes Josie Jewell, Bo Bauer, Josh Jackson, and Jake Gervas were all selected to the unit, giving them a league-high 4 selections, one more than Ohio State's 3. Bauer, Jewell, and Jackson were all also selected to the National Defensive Team. The Hawkeyes also had one selection to the offense, that being receiver Nick Easley. For the Cyclones, running back David Montgomery made the cut for the Big 12 offense, while cornerback Brian Peavy was selected on the defense. The Gazette's Area Super 10 volleyball rankings were released today, and 9-0 Cedar Rapids Jefferson sits at number 1, with Xavier 2nd, Glenmar 3rd, Iowa City 7th, and Mount Vernon 9th. The Iowa Speedway released its 2018 schedule today, and while remaining largely similar to the past year, many fans will be happy to hear that after a one-year hiatus, races will return to the track on Father's Day weekend on June 16th and 17th. Postseason play begins for the Colonels tonight. They're hosting the Kane County Cougars in Game 1 of the Best of 3 Western Division Series. Both teams led the division with 39 wins in the first half, but the Colonels fell to 3rd and Kane County to 6th in the second half. Cedar Rapids will throw Tyler Wells out there for Game 1 to take on Mack Lemieux, and that's going to start at 6:35 right here in Cedar Rapids. The Twins played the finale of a 3-game series with the Rays this afternoon, winning that one 10-6. So with no baseball for you tonight, you can keep it here on KGYM after our show for ESPN programming.
Every time you say Macklemore, I think he's saying Macklemore. Does it sound like he's saying Macklemore?
I mean, it's pretty close.
And Macklemore.
Macklemore. But I'm also thinking that it sounds like he should be a character in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. In the old, it was Little Mac, right? Was you played as him? And do either one of you remember Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
No, we don't.
You think Mike Tyson is a character in the Hangover movie, don't you?
No, I know him as a boxer. I never played such a game.
Oh, it was great. You had Glass Joe and Soda Popinski, and we're going down memory lane there. Look at me, I'm sounding like a Nebraska football fan. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions, courtesy of Imon Communications, with us next. Get him into us, 319-366-1600, back after this.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand